All right, let's get this party started. Okay.
My house may get loud.
Okay. So we're on Bereishit, right? We're starting at the very beginning, and we're going to skip Bereishit as much as it's like, you know, about faith and about, you know, the foundations, right, of our creation. And, you know, so there's a lot of philosophy, there's theology, there's spirituality, there's physics. I mean, there's a whole variety of things, at least the physics from a theological perspective, whatever, not necessarily scientific physics. There's a lot of relationships that we find in Parsha Bereishit, and particularly family. Obviously, as we know, right, we're all familiar with the relationships of or the failed relationships, or the, let's say, the turbulent relationships that you know, brothers have had, families. But it starts with Adam and Chava, right? They're created and they have their first fight, essentially, right? And you know, there's the spousal relationship. And then it moves right in, as opposed to just going, you know, to the families that we have later, it goes to, there are two brothers born into the world, right? Not just, you know, several brothers and sister, right? Thinking about, you know, the going further down. But just think about the first two brothers, right? Cain and Hevel. And as we know, what occurs is the fancy word, I believe, is patricide. Right, where one brother kills the other, Cain kills Hevel. And it's just indicative of strife that always exists in families. I don't want to say strife, but, you know, challenges, turbulence, right? No family. So very often, and maybe your families are the exception, but very often people, you know, when we're dealing with someone, God forbid, passing away, or, you know, something is going on where their family is going to be on display, whether it's through a shiva, whether it's through a bar mitzvah for a simcha, a wedding, whatever. And they say, oh, my gosh, I'm so embarrassed. Oh, you see, Rabbi, you're seeing what's going on in my family, you know, the ins and outs. And it's so, quote, dysfunctional, right? There's so much going on. And they say, oh, it's so embarrassing. It's, you know, I'm... And I say, you really don't understand. The Brady Bunch, you know, perfect family, you know, that you see on TV or whatever, that's the exception. The rule is that we all have stuff. And that's the reality, right? We all have brothers and sisters and complicated relationships with parents and children and husbands and wives. And Baruch Hashem, right? Our job is to weather the storm. I think that's one of the beautiful things about the Torah, is that the Torah is real, and it deals with real life problems and real life issues. And it's meant to show us, look, this is a manual for life. It's okay. It's okay. You're not crazy. You're not terrible. It's okay. Now, obviously, it's not, you know, oh yeah, don't worry, yeah, your brother kills the brother, chas v'shalom. That's not something that, you know, we ever, you know, want to imagine or could imagine or should imagine. But the idea being that, oh my God, the first brothers in history end up, you know, fighting, not appreciating each other, and one kills the other. So what we're going to see is the difference between them, okay? So look, it says in the beginning of Perek Daled, chapter 4, V'adam yadas chava ishto, v'tar v'telet es kain, v'tomer kanisi isha sashem. And by the way, I'm going to say that we'll dedicate our learning this evening to the refuah shelema, to a complete and speedy recovery, to Rabbi Shmuel Greenberg, Shlita, Rav Alter Shmuel ben Chavaleya, who we're all davening for, and we're going to be learning also to his merit. So Adam knows his wife in the biblical sense, right? Meaning, right, they get together as husband and wife, and she has a child, and he's Cain. Vatomer kanisi ish es Hashem, and she says, I've acquired. They say here, I've gained a male child with the help of the Lord. It seems more kanisi ish. I've gained another man into the world, or I've gained my own man, right? Meaning I've acquired back my husband. Many people say, why? Just obvious, right? What came before this was their fight. And, you know, Chava was the one who ate from the tree first, and then she gave, it wasn't an apple, then she gave whatever it was, according to Gemara, a variety of things that could be grapes, or it could be figs, or it could be an esrog, or it could be wheat, whatever. And she gave the fruit to her husband, and he ate, and you know, you can imagine that that kind of created the first fight. And I would assume it looks like Adam, you know, wasn't happy. And, you know, there wasn't such great marital bliss after the sin. And she figures, wow, we have a child now. Things are going to get better. Vatosa, she names him Kayin Kaniti. Vatosa flaledet et achiv et hevel. Then she has another kid. The younger brother, his name is Hevel. Vayhi Hevel roetzon. Chaim, everyone. Hevel is a shepherd. The Kayin haya oved adama, and Kayin is a farmer. He works the land. Then it says this. So okay, fine. They go their different ways. Very nice. Okay, he's a shepherd. He's a farmer. Great. They have two whatever profession. They're probably there's only probably a choice of two professions in the world. You can either be a shepherd or a farmer at this point. All right. So you one take, it's like a doctor and a lawyer, you know. Vayhi miketz yamim, vayavei kain mipri adama min chala Hashem, vehevel ivi gam hu mi b'chorot zono mechaveyen, vayisha Hashem el hevel vel minchato. Okay, and this is the beginning of the end, so to speak. This is the beginning of the problem. That it says that in the course of time, after a certain amount of days, Kayin brought a gift, an offering, a korban, you know, some sort of offering to God in the form of his produce. The Hevel also brought, and he brought the firstborn of his flock, the Be'u Mechelvein, the choicest of his flock, and God turned, Vayisha Hashem, God turned to Hevel and his mincha and his offering, V'alkayim V'al Minchato Lo Sha'a, but God didn't turn, for some reason, he was able to realize, or he was able to sort of glean that, you know, hey, God answered him, or God is like favoring Hevel, and he's not favoring me. He's not turning to my sha'a, means to turn, or to pivot towards. God's not pivoting towards me. And Kayin gets really angry, and he gets sad. Just interesting, it's not for now, it's great, you know, psychological fodder, which is part of the term. Vayichar l'kayin, like, what do you mean he got angry? He got angry first? Usually you'd get sad. Usually you'd be like, but no, he gets angry first. It sounds like why he got angry. Is it at himself? Is it at his brother? It's probably he gets angry at his brother, right? Because when you have someone that you can blame things on, okay, you can just turn it. Oh man, I'm so angry at him. Forget about yourself. You plup panav, and then he felt sad. Then he started thinking like, oh my God, like I gave an offering. I gave it first, and God only likes his and not mine. Oh, it made him feel sad. It made him feel inadequate. So he gets angry at his brother, and he feels himself. He feels inadequate. It's a recipe for disaster, as we know. And we know the rest of the story. I don't have to tell you. So, we're going to look at the Kli Yakar as we are ought to do, and the Kli Yakar has a really beautiful piece here. Hold on. All right, it's here on the right. Vayhi miketz. I can make it a little bit bigger. Let me see. Font size. Oh, wait. Sorry about that. I could stop that. Make it a little bigger here. No. Okay. I guess I can't make it that much bigger. I apologize. Vayim miketz yamim, vayave kain mipri adama min chalashem. So says the Kli Yakar. Awesome. Lo parash v'mikra, ma'u miketz yamim. What do you mean, Vayihi Miketz Yamim? We have a parsha named Miketz, right? We'll read it, God willing. Miketz is a good. It's a sort of a good marker in the road to look at. You know, hopefully, you know, Miketz usually is, you know, towards the middle end of December. You know, maybe we'll be, maybe there'll be a vaccine. Maybe we'll have better, you know, the therapeutics that we need to, like, really start, you know, living in a regular way. Maybe we could actually learn, like, in person when this happens. But whatever. I'm not getting ahead of myself. What does it mean when it says, Vayihi Miketz Yamim? What's it talking about? What? Lo parash b'mikra, ma'u ket miketz yamim. Ve'imata yitchilu otana yamim. Again, it says they're born. It says Cain's born, Hevel's born. Right? And it says that Hevel is a shepherd. Cain is a farmer. And then it says, Vayihi miketz yamim. And it was after, at the end of these days. What does that mean? What days? When did they start? When did we start counting these days? What do they matter? Asher aleim b'haketz? Like the end of what? When did it start? V'nir lomar. Atzara remes. So usually when that happens, what the Kliyakar is trying to do is point us in the direction of, or sort of get our, raise our antennas to realize that, like, there's something going on here. The text is trying to tell us something. Torah is trying to tell us something. It's trying to teach us something. V'nir lomar atzara remes. Maybe we could say by way of allusion, Kain and Hevel ayu chalukim bishleimuta adam mahu. Kain and Hevel perhaps had totally different approaches to what is man's purpose in this world. How does humanity achieve a sense of fullness, of wholeness, of fulfillment in this world? Ima olam azevat lochotav, sof shleimut adam, vein shleimus achrav. Is it that this world and its successes, right, its material successes, you know, well, fancy this, fancy that, whatever, right, and that's it. Vein shleimus achrav, right? I want to fulfill myself as a in my professional pursuits and my material pursuits and possessions in this world, and that's it. There's no other shleimut after that. Or, oh, im yesh od olam achar nitzchi. Or, if there's another world that is achar nitzchi, that is eternal, right? What we call olam haba. Ukafira nira shekayin haya ohev adama, savar she'en cheshbon m'sheol. So, since it makes sense to say that Cain, who loved the land, right? He was a man of the earth. He figured, like, there is no accounting in Sheol, right? There's no accounting once you return to the earth, right? That's it, right? Meaning, God forbid, person passes away. Today, I had the privilege of burying a woman, 97 years old, Eleanor Cotlier. Very, very special, unique person. But we don't believe it ends there. We don't believe it ends there, right? The body returns, but the soul returns. The body returns to the earth, but the soul soars. The soul returns to God. But he figured, no, it's just soil. It's just earth. It's just dirt. Like, what do you mean? Va'olam hazeh eino mashir acharav me'uma. And this world doesn't leave after it anything. That's it. Right? Kind of like the... Well, no, it's not like that, but I mean, it is kind of, like in the ancient Egypt, right? They would say, "Oh, I want, please bury me with my, you know, it was they find like tombs of like children, right? They buried them with their special hairbrush, and they buried them with their special horse toys, and they're this and they're that, because they believed in an afterworld, but like they would use the physical world in the afterworld. So it's not exactly what he's talking about. I'm talking about, like, right, what he's talking about is like, oh, you know, a person who, you know, here, bury me with all of my whatever stuff, you know, because there's nothing else anyway, so I might as well just take it into the grave with me, right? It's very depressing. Okay? Ki Yisron Eretz B'choli. Zeu, the Al-Kain bachar lo l'chelko kol chemdos ha'olam hazeh. Therefore, what did he choose for his life? All of the desires of this world. V'atzlach otav. And, you know, all of the material, earthly, physical, pleasure, you know, pleasurable pursuits, that's it. Because there's nothing else after. V'hevel savar ki yesh od olam acher nitzchi. But Hevel believed that there was something deeper, that there's another world, an eternal world, that doesn't have an ending, right? That's not finite, that's infinite. Asher bo yasiga adama tachlita acharon, and that's where we will ultimately achieve our ultimate ends, the ultimate purpose. Al kein bachar lo liyot roetzon. Therefore, he wanted to be a shepherd. What do you mean? Oh, he's engaging, he's dealing with animals all day. No. Hagorim hit bodidut. What is it? What's the significance of being a shepherd? Now, the Kli Yakar says this later on when he talks about Moshe. You'll see in a minute. Being a shepherd means you go out and not just, you're not in a field. You're literally like in open, you know, open terrain on the open range, right? And you're alone. You're meditating with God. You're in this meditative experience, right? It's like almost like a, you know, it's like a transcendental, a kind of mentality where you're one with nature and you're experiencing life in a very spiritual way. Keder she'asu harbei neviim, kemoshe v'david. Think about it. All of our prophets, so many of the prophets that we know, they were shepherds. Moshe was a shepherd. David was a shepherd. Right, we have others. Obviously, Abram is a shepherd. Right, Yitzchak actually is more of a farmer. Yaakov is a shepherd, but it has to do with being out there for days, weeks on end, and becoming one with nature, the universe, with God, etc. Vizulatam uchadei la'akriv mehem korban Hashem. Right, because you go out there and you have these sheep, and eventually you want to bring an offering to God because you feel so at one with God. Vulai, and actually, I don't know if you guys had this experience, but over Sukkot this year, you know, I built a sukkah with like half walls, and it was so beautiful. Like you're sitting out in the sukkah, and you're a part of nature. You're not in some booth. You really felt like you were part of nature, which is the way it's really supposed to be. Vulai asu chalukot b'nehem, and maybe he says they had like something going on between them. Kedis v'medrash. Be'esav Yaakov, like Esav and Yaakov, she'asu chaluka b'nehem, ki Esav lakach l'chelko kol chamudos ha'olam hazeh, kemo she'amar yavor na Adonai lifnei avdo, rotzo lomar yikach chelko kodem, v'Yaakov b'chay l'chelko l'olim nitzchi, v'yado ocheze ba'akev Esav, haynu b'sofim shalto shel Esav, kach, kain ve'evel asu chaluka zu b'nehem. So maybe, quotes a medrash about Yaakov and Esav, right, also two brothers that were at each other's throats, polar opposites, who basically, according to the Medrash, made a deal between the two of them, right? Esav said, I'll take this world, right? And Yaakov's like, all right, fine, you get this world, I'll get the next world. And we're good, and we're even Stephen, right? I'll take this world, you take the next world. Maybe that's what happened with Cain and Hevel. Cain said, I'll take this world, you take the next world. And by the way, it makes sense. Think about the names. Cain. Remember we talk about kaniti, to acquire, right? To purchase, to take, right? You take possessions or you take possession of something. The word liknot, Cain, literally means only something physical can you acquire, right? Whereas hevel, what does the word hevel mean? Someone tell me what the word hevel means. Come on.
Or good. Futility, emptiness.
Okay, good. Keep going. Keep going. Think in halachic terms.
Reality.
Keep going.
Reality? Bobby wants me to say reality.
Be more basic. The word hevel means air. It means nothingness or air. Heat. In halachic terms, it means heat, actually. But yeah, it's nothingness. Hevel is nothingness. It's ruach, right? Like it says in Koheles, right? It's air. It's spirit. That's what hevel is, right? Hevel represents the spiritual person, the totally spiritual person. That's hevel, right? I'll take The infinite, not the tangible, right? It's the intangible. Exactly. Okay? So it's reality, by the way, Avi, but it's a spiritual reality, right? That's the idea. You're right. In Koheles itself, yeah, Hevel actually means this world by definition. But the reason why Hevel means this world by definition is because this world is Hevel, right? Because what is there really to it? The physical, material stuff really is nothingness, right? So, but the word itself, it means this. It connotes spirituality. It connotes the intangible. Okay, so Horu Bezeh, oh sorry. Elohim kekarka omeda bimkoma, dome lemishaholech liyrid, mekonasham bimaotav karkod ubatim, shene achola holicha mimolabeto. He says, think about it. It's like someone, he says, when you buy things in this world, you can't take them with you into the next world, like we just said, right? I want to be buried with what, you can't take that with you. It's like someone said, it's a famous saying, a kittel. Some of us wore a kittel on Yontif. A kittel doesn't have pockets. Do you know why a kittel doesn't have pockets? Because a kittel, right, is supposed to represent the experience of death, right? Some have minhag to bury the kittel, right? It doesn't have pockets because you can't take it with you. You can't take it with you. He's like, it's like compared to someone who goes to a big fair, a big convention, and he buys a bunch of houses, right? He buys deeds to houses. But guess what? He can't take the house with him home. It's in the ground. Right? What do you do? Right? Elim kaharka, kekarka omedet bim koma, doma lemi shol, fine. Ve'in lo mehem ki'im mashu ochel mipirya, ve'odo be'eretz nachriya. The only thing you can sort of take from these this land that you purchased or these homes that you purchased is the produce of that land. When you're in when you're on this foreign soil, so to speak. Right? So the person buys the house and then he goes home, can't take the house with him. What he could do is he could take some, they produce great whatever, it's a great vineyard, it's a great potato farm, whatever it may be, right? You could take that with you, but by the time you get home, you've eaten it up already and it's spoiled, right? All you have is what's over there, and because that's really the ikar. That's really what's most important, most significant. Kacha usa olam haza ikar. Ein lo mimenu ki im malo kaf. Nachas hamusag memalei chafnayim. Amal ruus ruach. This is from a phraseology from Koheles. It says the same way. If you make this world your mainstay, the most important part of your life, you don't have anything else. You don't have anything to take. You could take a handful of whatever, but of what? I don't know. I got into a fight here, and this was difficult, and I had this challenge, and I had that challenge, and I like. What does it mean if there's nothing after this? What does it mean? Veinu mishtamish bam ki meshach zman garuto ba'olam haza. Okay, oh, you got a nice car. You got a nice this. Okay, that's nice. Zeshiv tov ba'bayit me'at. You're there in this house for a little bit. Kiger uke oreach, like a visitor, like a stranger, like a someone passing through. Natal alun. You can't bring it with you to the eternal world, to Olam Haba. Kisham Beito. That's really where your house is. This is the approach to life. This is the mentality of Kayin and his ilk, who love, I don't know, transient earthly possessions. The hevel hu hamahavil kol kinyanei azman ki musar havalim hema, And but Hevel, he realizes that all of this stuff, the this world stuff, it's nice, it's fun, it's helpful, but he's mahavil them. He realizes the vanity in them. He realizes that they're not the essential things in life. It's a nice thing to have. It's good to have a good, comfortable car. It's good to have whatever, a nice watch. It's nice. But you have to understand what it really is. It's not, you know, what do they say about the certain watch, right? They say, oh, the watch, it's for the generation. Which one is it? You guys could tell me. I don't remember. Right, so
Philippe
what?
Patel or Patek or something.
Patek Philippe? Is that what it is, Scott?
That's it.
The Patek Philippe. Oh, you want to give so? You want to impact generations? Buy my watch. Are you kidding me? Spend $25,000 on this watch and you'll impact generations to come. No. Spend $25,000 on a year of yeshiva for your kid and that's going to impact generations to come. Okay? Or your grandkid or wherever it is. Right? That's impact. Right? Invest in something that really has dividends. Right? Invest in your shul, in your community, in the state of Israel, in chesed. I mean, that's real. This is not real, right? And so Hevel realizes that. Ki yu musara v'havalim hema. It's not silly. It's nothing. It's narishkeit, as they say. B'chaylo b'metaltilin. So according to the Medrash, Hevel chose, when he had a chance, oh, should I take a house, right? Land? Or should I just take like some possessions? So he chose possessions. Why? V'zeu kiyum ha-mitzvos. What possessions? He knew it's not the watch. He said, I want mitzvos. Kiyum mitzvos Hashem Yisbrach. Sha'adam yachol l'taltel imo. Min ha-mokam asher hu omebo. Ka'oreach hu kiger la-mokam asher hu sham toshav ve'ezrach. Ki bayit yasa lo sham. To the place where the real house is being built, where the bricks of his house are solid and will stand for generations, he chose God. He chose the things that he could actually take with him. Not the, like the Egyptian, princess, you know, brings her toy horses with her, into the pyramid because they're going to be with me in the next world. No, they won't. They weren't. You know who's going to get them? Grave robbers. You know, Indiana Jones is going to get them. You know, I mean, come on. That's not real. This is real. L'taltel. You could take it with you. This has staying power. Ukvarno dasha kolo have kinyan hamamon, and we already know that anyone who loves like that their soul life's pursuit is money and power and the pursuit of pleasures and these momentary things. La'olam eino sim shum mitzvot tzedaka min mamonam kol yemei chayehem. They won't do, with all the money they have, people that have this mentality, they don't do it. They don't give tzedakah with it. They don't care about it, right? Because it's all about them. It's all about this. It's all about the here and now. Asher chashvu hein oda yom gadol kan le'echol le'sava le'shtamesh b'mamonam. Right, look, I have X amount of time on this earth, I got to eat, I got to drink, I got to buy as many things as I can, I got to do as many things as I can, because, time is short. And they fritter away their money. Now to eat and enjoy, that's fine. Again, that's fine. But you also have to understand that that's not the ikar. That's not the essential. That's not the most important. And you have to also do other things with your money. V'chol zman sheim roim asatzmam chazakim. Af briim ukekocham az kein ata einot nimklu mehonam, and the Kli Yakar says, and as long as these people find themselves, they don't have any existential fears for their lives, and they feel like I'm healthy and I'm vigorous and so on. They don't give anything. They don't give anything to help anyone. Letzorach avodas Hashem, to serve to the service of God. Bechashvam mi ochalu mi achush chutz mimeni, because they say like, hey, this is for me. It's about me, right? It's not about anyone else. Ach miketz yemei cheldam berotam et atzmam krovim l'shayer mavis. However, at a certain point, once they get, towards the end and they feel it, right, that we're towards the end of my life, and they start having to take account for who they are, what they are. They start thinking about their own, you know, their existence, right? It's an existential fears kick in, their mortality. And they realize, wait a minute, so what if I get buried with this stuff? Like, it's not... Then what happens? They get jealous of the people who actually didn't waste their lives on this silliness. And they look at the people that devoted their lives to godly pursuits, to spiritual pursuits, to chesed and tzedakah, and they're jealous and they're angry. They're angry at themselves, but who do they take it out on? They take it out on them. V'yasagamu me'at mize'er v'yaskim la'avim inchala Hashem. And they say, okay, all right, I got to give something. Hein derech korban, whether maybe they do a korban, maybe hein leten la'aniyim, maybe they give to a poor person, maybe they give some tzedakah, o b'derech acher, or in some other way. They're trying to make up for lost time, but they don't know how to give. They've never been trained to give. They've never trained themselves, right? So they give a little bit, here's 50 bucks, you know, whatever. V'zeo amal v'la'ani b'shas dochko. This is like, you know, loaning to a poor person when he's really in need. Not that the poor person's in need. He's saying, you're in need. You feel like, oh, you need a mitzvah or two to put on your ledger because you're realizing time is short now and you wasted your whole life. Right? This is like a kiviyachal, lahavdil, right? Ebenezer Scrooge type story, right? Great adaptation of that, by the way. Maybe this is sacrilegious. It's called Scrooged with Bill Murray. Great adaptation of it. But that's the story, right? Like you all of a sudden you have a turnaround in your life. You're like, oh my God, what have I done? I have to give. I want to give. Kamoshi's Bar Lakaman, obviously our tradition and the Torah has many, many, you know, stories like this. Parshas Vayelech, the Amo Aretz V'Afgam Zos, Fine. And basically what he says is, this is what's going on with Cain. Remember we asked, what was the question we asked at the very beginning of the shiur? Not everyone heard it, only a few might have heard it. The question was, Vayhi miketz yamim. It was after many days, at the end of days. What? What end of days? So he's saying, maybe this is what's going on. Maybe actually they live their lives. And they're like, all right, you do your thing, I'll do my thing. Right? And they're older, right? We always think of Cain and Hevel as younger, you know, kids, and they're fighting. Maybe it's the opposite. Maybe they live their lives, and all of a sudden they're realizing, oh my God, you know, we're getting to the end. And Cain looks around and he's like, oh my God, what have I done? So he gives a little like, Hevel's been, he's been doing this all the whole time. I got to give something, right? And he gives a little bit, but he doesn't even give from his best. He gives a little bit, you know, a little, some of the garbage, you know, fruits that he has left over. The Hevel hevi gam hu mi b'chorotono. And perhaps that's what's happening. That Hevel, not that Hevel gave second, Hevel's been giving the whole time. Hevel hevi gam hu mi b'chorot. He's been giving, but he's giving the best. And Hashem listens to Hevel, and Hashem, you know, pays heed to Hevel. And perhaps that's what Cain looks at and says, oh my God, it's too late. What have I done? I've wasted my life. And Hevel had it right the whole time. Who? Which brother? My little brother. He had it right the whole time. What an idiot I am. By Yichar L'Kayin. Who is he really mad at? We talked about this. Who's he really mad at? He's mad at himself. He's mad at himself. Obviously, he turns it on Cain. But he's mad at himself. By Yiplupanav, and he's so depressed. And he's like, oh my God, what can I do? I have no other recourse. I got to get rid of him. I got to get rid of him. At least maybe then God will listen to me. Maybe, because it's too late for me. But maybe if Hevel's not around, I could, what I'm doing has some value. And I think what the Kli Yakar, you could see the rest on your own, but I think what the Kli Yakar is trying to tell us is that this story really is a metaphor for our lives. Don't let it get to miketz yamim. Don't let it go there, right? Don't learn from Cain's folly, right? Vatosef. So it says there's a Cain and there's a Hevel. Hevel's a roetzon, Cain's an oved adama. Whatever you choose, choose wisely, right? And don't have the attitude, don't have the outlook of Cain, that I'm building my house here and I'm going to take it with me. Have the outlook of Hevel before it's too late, right? And that's the beauty of the Yamim Noraim, the Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur season, and reading Koheles, by the way, which is all about this, that we're able to do every year. It's literally a gift from Hashem. And this pandemic, obviously, this is also a way why how the pandemic has been a gift, because if we haven't gotten the message yet, like, whoa, we need to get the message. Life, you know, our time here is finite, and our priorities need to be in the right place. And we have to see Hevel for what it is, see that which is foolish and that which is secondary and that which is not the primary importance for what it is. Appreciate it, but appreciate it for what it is. And also see that really the Hevel of the world is the most important. The infinite, the intangible, the love of family, the connectedness, the closeness, the chesed, the tzedakah, the charity, the kindness, the mitzvos, the Torah, the Shabbos, the yontov, all these things that we have, that those are the things that are real metaltalin, that we're really are things that we can take with us, not just for the rest of our lives, but for eternity. May we all be zolcheh to learn the lesson of Cain and Hevel and choose wisely. L'chaim, everyone. Thank you.